Candy. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. You're here with JP. You got Caleb. Quentin's off tonight. We got Thiz running the show. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I mean, you know, what I was told was going to happen happened, and I'm kind of glad it did, to be honest. I mean, no slight against anybody, but it needed to be done. Sky Moore, he is now on IR, season-ending IR, and from what I understand, he will not be back for the playoffs.
Okay.
Which is perfect. Amazing.
Well, I mean, so, it's kind of looked like he filed the rotation anyway, so it's going to work out. We got guys who want to be here, and I'm not saying he doesn't want to be here, but we got guys who want to play. So that's what the Chiefs need right now.
Exactly. One real quick thing before we get into our recap. So a Taylor Swift fan was in Gillette Stadium and apparently got heckled and booed and a bunch of other things. I don't know exactly what went on, but she said she was ridiculed by Patriots fans during the game because she had a Taylor Swift jacket on. I don't know exactly what was said. She brought it up to one of the outlets out there. I'd like to get her on the show to see what actually happened, but this is not the first time we've heard of this. But the funny thing about that was, is that, you know, when you look at all the East Coast teams that came in and chimed in on that tweet, they all said, well, welcome to football. That's every fan base. It's not. Because if you remember, Caleb, when Cincinnati came into Kansas City, all their fans said we were nothing but nice to them. When the Bills fans came into Kansas City and they went down to Union Station, we were nothing but nice to them. That's all they talked about. It's not every fan base. It's mostly East Coast fan bases. They're pretty rude. Hey, what's up, man? What's up, Will? Everybody else is joining in. By the way, anybody that's on the show, you can absolutely chime in, ask questions. We will definitely answer. But I don't know why. It's just that type of atmosphere out there. I know the Patriots and the Philly, the Eagles are the worst two when it comes to just being rude fans, period.
It's just kind of the culture. I mean, that's kind of one thing I always heard that what people always say about East Coast. People are a little more blunt, a little more meaner over there, so it translates to their sports. I mean, like you said, Kansas City, they're always going to be a bad bunch of fans in every fan group. But for the most part, Kansas City has been always a welcome environment to a lot of different people. So that's always been huge. So I don't know. I'm hoping things work out. But at the end of the day, I think when we look at things happening in particular, the Chiefs are going to be just fine. The fan base can continue to do the thing. We just got to continue to grow. So it's a worldwide brand. I mean, I never got to discuss with you guys, but looks like the NFL is trying to get games in Brazil. So they're trying to get a worldwide game going. So I mean, at this point, the Chiefs just got to continue. The fans continue to be great ambassadors of the sport. Like, like soccer, we know what teams are not, what fans are nice to the teams, and what fans are not nice. So, just be good.
Well, they actually want to buy out the CFL. I mean, you know, they're really trying to just take over all of football. And I understand. It makes sense. You know, if you take over all of it and you get, you know, you go Europe or worldwide, I should say, with everything. You're running the show, and I get that part of it. The world's team. It's absolutely right. Kansas City is the world's team. It's weird. Some Miami fans are calling the Dolphins America's team now, which is very strange. But anyway, regardless, I thought it was kind of, you know, the girl got a lot of ridicule, and the shit that was spewed out on Twitter from all of those fans, it was pretty sad, actually. But it is what it is. Regardless, moving on. Let's recap this game from last week. Let's talk about this a little bit because there were some great moments. There were some not so great moments. There was some miscues, of course. But I think they're – well, in fact, I know they're moving in that direction that we talked about before, where they're putting that package together that's going to be ready for the playoffs, you know, the end of the season run in the playoffs. And I think that's why they're making the moves they're making, you know, moving Sky Moore to season ending IR. Tony, I know a lot of people are down on Tony right now. The one thing I will say, and I want your opinion on this, Tony has never been that over the middle type of wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He's more of the, you know, intermediate downfield go route type of wide receiver that can jump up, catch a ball, make some moves, do the things that he needs to do. They've used him a lot behind the line of scrimmage. They've used him a lot in these short intermediate passes that really haven't benefited the team in a lot of ways. And he drops a lot of those passes. Reason being is because his eyes are always looking downfield instead of looking at the ball before, you know, prior to it getting to his hands. But if they put him in a position kind of like what they do Justin Watson, what do you think?
I agree. We got to move some players around. We got to let the playmakers play. That's really what the Chiefs need to focus on doing. Because if the playmakers play, things are going to be better as a whole. So that's going to be extremely huge. I believe they're going to allow those things like Sky Moore is now an IR, season-ending IR. Richie James, see what he can do. Justin Ross, see what he can do. Like, mix in these guys. They're playmakers. And nothing against Sky Moore, but it just seemed like, I don't know if the moment was too big, but it just was not working out at all anymore. He just wasn't getting open. And, again, I always talk about how the Chiefs need to go after receivers who want to get the ball and not just these route runners, because you need some guys that can make plays. And finally, I think they're starting to understand that, because the guys they've been bringing in, besides Rasheed Rice, haven't really been able to do much.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I know they want to get Justin Ross in the mix, especially moving down this last stretch of the season and into the playoffs. And that's a good thing. That, look, the kid runs phenomenal routes. He's a good player. He's a big, strong kid. He's proven himself that he's healthy now. So it's just time to move the needle and put your guys out there and let them play. Noah Gray needs to be out on the field a lot more. We noticed when McKinnon and Clyde were together in the red zone, along with Kelsey, we scored. It is what it is. We looked so much better. We looked like we did last year in the red zone by doing those things. McKinnon is a great player. Look, man, as much as I have trashed Clyde over the last 4 years, he looked really good. And I know he's securing his future right now. That's what he's doing. Whether we bring him back or he goes somewhere else, which, hey, don't be surprised if they don't use him in a different scenario next year and do decide to keep him. If he continues on this trajectory and they use him in the passing game more, and he continues to do what he did in that game, don't be surprised if he doesn't stick around another season, because he could be that Debo
Samuel. They might for the right price.
Yeah. I mean, he could be that Debo Samuel style player. Now, will he ever be a Debo? Hell no. But you can get the production out of him that you need when you need it. And he, you know, he jumped up and made a hell of a catch in the end zone.
That was something I was not expecting.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff we thought he was going to do year one. But, again, offense was in a – a lot of crazy stuff happened over these last 3 years where he wasn't able to really reach his potential.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some of that was him. I mean, you know, he had a lot of injuries. But then again, I think he was a little checked out.
See that.
You know, during the parade, he went to a fashion show. You know, just weird shit that he's been doing that it's just off kilter for a player that is in his rookie contract still for the most part and did those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand it's a first-round pick, but honestly, like you said, that was LSU Clyde. That's who that was last week. That was LSU Clyde, not, you know, 2020 or 21 Clyde. That was LSU Clyde.
That was LSU, what we expected to see.
Yeah. So it was nice to see him get out there. And what I noticed the most is that he actually really made sure he was protecting the ball. He did not want to fumble again. And he was doing a good job of protecting the ball. I got to give him credit for that. Pacheco is coming back this week. Understand, everybody out there listening, Pacheco will be back this week. He is playing. So just understand that he's playing this week coming up. He's back in the fold. He's back in the mix. I think, in fact, I know we're going to see different packages coming out against the Raiders. They're going to do some experimenting to a degree. Because it is the Raiders. But they're going to experiment with better in better situations, I should say. I'll put it that way. They're just going to experiment in better situations.
They got to. I mean, the chance to go to Super Bowl is on the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can still get the number one seed. You know, the the Ravens are playing hard football right now. Mm-hmm. They're playing good. There's no doubt about it. Do I think they can be beat? Yes. I think they got a couple of games coming up that they have an opportunity to lose. A good chance of losing, actually. It's just, we don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs. We have no idea. You know, they're 1-3 in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson. Now, granted, this is a better football team than we've seen out of the Ravens over the last few years. Lamar's been healthy all year long. But right now, they look like a football team that's going to be the one that you may see in the AFC Championship game. We'll just have to see how it goes. We don't know yet. So, right now, the Arrowhead Invitational is still alive. We got to keep that
moment. For now, yes.
Now it's still alive. So, Travis Kelce, let's get to that really quick, and then we can move on. I'm kind of tired of hearing that he's old and washed up, because he's not. He's been banged up this year. He's had a couple of injuries, not just this last one with his elbow. You know, he wasn't 100% until about week, 5, 6, and then he got injured again.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. It has nothing to do with him dating Taylor Swift. He's dated a lot of women in his life. It's not a matter of that. I want to explain this because it seems very hard for people to understand. This year, up until now, the last few games, nobody has been afraid of not any wide receiver on our football team. There's no fear with anybody. Up until the last couple of weeks, they've been scared of Rashee Rice. That's who they've been scared of. Last year and the years past, Kelce has been double teamed and he's been used to that. This year, 80% of the time he's been triple teamed. When you have a weak link in your wide receiver core, still number one tight end in fantasy and on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to pass him. I mean, he's still going to get his 1,000 yards. He's probably going to end up with about 8-9 touchdowns. So it just is what it is. But the biggest thing is that, and I'm glad to see you here, man. The biggest thing is that when you have a weak link in your offense, or somebody runs the wrong route, it's no different than anything else. That chain stretches and breaks. These wide receivers have their own routes to run. But when they see their quarterback in trouble, they break off their routes.
A lot of times, the ball.
Exactly. And a lot of times they're not used to, most of these guys aren't used to playing with Pat and understanding where they need to be, how to get in a position and sit down. What we've noticed is, I've noticed because I watch all 22 like constantly, Rashee Rice has gotten so good at finding that open spot and sitting down and waiting for the ball. He waits for Pat. He waits for the ball. He gets himself open. And that's what Kelce has always been great at doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, he's getting very good at that. He did it right. In fact, last week he did it right in the middle of the field. You know, Pat was a little bit, you know, had a little bit of pressure on him. He rolled out and Rashee got right in the middle of the field, sat down, put it, you know, gave him a little nod. Ball ended up in his hands. Nice gain. First down. That's what we've been lacking this year. And there's a stat that I don't think people know. Right now, everybody's been down on Justin Watson because he's had 3 or 4 drops this year. Those were over-the-middle drops as well that Justin
Watson I haven't really even noticed his drops because he's been playing so well.
Yeah, he only had like 3, I think, maybe 4. But they were all in the middle. And 3 in the middle, you know, 5-7 yard routes, which that's not his game. And then another one was – it wasn't really a drop. It was more or less a little overthrown. He got hit on the sidelines, pushed him out of bounds, the ball came out. But you realize that he is 9th in the league right now as far as in percentage of contested catches? 9th. I mean, that's insane to think that a number 4 wide receiver, number 5 wide receiver in this league is ranked 9th right now in contested catches.
That's good because we're going to be in the playoffs to make those plays.
Exactly. Kelce is a top 10 receiver in this league, and everybody has been down on him, but he's still ranked, according to Next Gen Stats, he's ranked top 10 in the league. as well as a receiver. Is that nuts?
I thought of it like that.
Yeah. So everybody that's out there downing these guys, it's a bitch. I mean, I know we don't look as flashy as we did last year. I get that. But, you know, Mahomes is still on par right now after this last game. 4,290 yards and 34 touchdowns. Okay. I don't know. And I had a guy ask me on Twitter, X, whatever the frick you want to call it now. He asked me, he said, well, you know, if you're, how do you word it? If you're wide receiver, he actually deleted his account because I made him look stupid. But he actually did delete his account. It no longer exists. He blamed it on Mahomes. He said, well, if Mahomes was playing better. And I said, well, hold on now. Let's think about this. You're saying that there's many quarterbacks that have had tons of drops all year long and have been in his same shoes. And I said, name me three quarterbacks that have had 39 drops prior to week 15. And 42
on the deal with.
Absolutely. And then be on par for 4,200 plus yards and 34 touchdowns. Name any of them to me. He brought up Tom Brady in 21. In 17 games, they had 21 drops. In 17 games, 21 drops.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a far cry from 39 in 13 games. Let's just be really realistic about this.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes has done everything he could possibly do to keep this team alive. And I think
more. And he went off the rest and got fined.
Yeah. I mean, look, and then, you know, we could bring that up a little bit too, but that is something that I think is a detriment to a degree because you're putting a lot of pressure on this man to make everybody great because he's done it so well in the past, you know, with the Chris Conleys and the Albert Wilsons and the D Robs and everybody else that we had on this team that he made look really good. It's really difficult when you give him a new wide receiver coach that's not really meshing well with the wide receivers, the wide receivers not really running the routes they're supposed to run. And you're not putting the packages together that work well together, that mesh well together, like the Noah Gray. And when we see that, Noah Gray on the field, Justin Watson, Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, and then McKinnon, and you also have Pacheco in the backfield, they look really good. It's when you start mixing shit up and changing things at halftime, that's when things go downhill. And, it's kind of weird. We started off really good. Scoring strong in the first half and the first part of the season. Then it was, okay, well, we're down a little bit. Then we got to score. Then we got to come back. And then the second half of the season, or the second, I guess, part of the season, second quarter of the season, we couldn't score in the second half at all. And now we're back to scoring in the second half and the first half. But the defense is tired, which is exactly what we predicted on this show was going to happen. And this was back on week 5. We said they're going to get exhausted if this continues to go on. And that's exactly what's happened. This is not a one game being tired. This is 68% of your
time. Over time, it's going to wear on the team and the body and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking – it looks like things are changing. And what I was told looks like to be true. They're keeping the guys that they know are going to work well.
That's what they got to do. You got to get out rid of – I mean, is MVS on this list from what you've heard or –
He's not coming off the field. They feel like
what do you mean?
They're going to they think he's going to with the way they're going to scheme things. They think he's going to do a lot better, similar to how it happened last year that he picked it up later in the season and then really turned it on in the playoffs. That's kind of how they feel like it's going to happen this year.
Okay.
So, you know, they're not going to look, man. They're not going to take the guy that makes $11 million this year, and if you take all of our wide receivers together, they make $7 million. So he makes $4 million more than all of our other wide receivers combined.
Exactly.
In one season. He's not coming off the field. They just have to put the packages together because as an accountant and as a businessman, you don't do that, especially with your higher paid players. But he's still not a bad player. He just has to be written. Put in the right position.
Got a scheme, and he also has to catch the ball, but also he can't be tackled and trying to catch the ball too. So it's kind of a three-way street.
It is. But I think we're going to see a different football team moving forward. And like I said last Thursday on the show, you pick and choose your battles. They picked and choose their battles. This week, you know, they played pretty vanilla for the most part. They could have had another touchdown, of course. Actually, a couple. You know, Kelce did miss that pass in the end zone that he would have normally caught. But it is what it is. Now you're going against the Raiders that do know you. They're, you know, they're coming off this big 63-point win or scoring game that they think they've done something because they played, you know, one of the worst football teams in, you know, in the league right now. They just fired their head coach, which we knew was coming. Yeah, everything happened, and they're on this big high. So you have to go in there being a little methodical because they do know you to some degree. So you have to change things up. This is the week you do it. The week that you really have to be game planning is week 17 against Cincinnati because, I'm sorry, Browning is playing better than Burrow did.
Yeah, he is playing pretty good.
Yeah. So that team has not changed much, except now Ja'Marr Chase is injured. And he is out this week for sure, and it seems like he might be out through week 17. He's got a pretty bad injury. Do I think KT can get any? Yeah, I think he can. It's all about scheming, man.
He has to get the opportunities given to him, but he can't drop easy passes.
No,
I don't know what they're going to do.
They have to get him what they have to practice with him. And I've seen this back in the day, and it was kind of a comical looking thing. They had this device back in the day that they would put on wide receivers' heads. And it would keep them from turning their head at all, and they would fire balls at them. So a jug machine or a quarterback would do it. And it would keep their head from turning, so their eyes would stay focused on the ball. He has a problem, and when I slow it down on all 22 and I really watch it, his eyes, when the ball is coming towards him and he knows the ball is coming towards him, his head is already turning before his – and the ball is, you know, this far from his hands, and his head's already looking – his eyes are looking downfield.
He was already looking down the field, like you said, and he's like just dropped it. He was preparing to make a move. You got to catch then go, not try to catch and go at the same time. That's where drop passes happen.
Exactly. So you can't take a football. I mean, you can't expect a football to land in your hands if you're not looking for it, if your eyes aren't looking for the ball. If they have to put that device, you know, pull it out of the archives and put that shit back on his head, that's something they're going to have to do. Hey, man, put a shock collar on him if they have to. You turn your head too far, your ass gets shocked. You know, you got to do something to keep his head straight until he gets the ball in his hands. I don't know if it's a fear of being hit or if he just wants to burn it down.
He's a playmaker. If you look at his tape, he is always thinking downfield, what do I need to do? Think on my feet. Sometimes you need to catch the ball first and then make your move.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a step-by-step process. You don't jump to step 5 and 6. We need to at least get to step 2.
Exactly. What's up, Joe? Nice to see you on the show. Do we think Rice
– got a question from Will.
He said, do you think Richie James will get more – yes. Richie James is definitely going to get more snaps. That's part of the Sky Moore going on IR situation. They're trying to change things up, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to make it work. This team is resilient. They're very resilient. We are not the team to fold. We have a world-class head coach. And, you know, people complain about Nagy. Nagy's a very good offensive coordinator. I understand it's new playing with a quarterback like Pat because he's never had a quarterback like Pat. Yeah, he had him in 17, but he really didn't work with him like he had to work with. Yes, Kelce is hurt a little bit, but his elbow's okay. He's going to play. He's been hurt all season, Joe, by the way. But
yeah, it's been this a thing that's going to be there. Like his wrist injury a couple years ago, it was all season.
It was exactly. It just nagged him all year long. But Richie James will get the ball more. This was kind of their scheme, and I think we're going to see a lot more of a different packages put together on the field that work. He did. He said Trubisky as a QB. And you know what's funny? He did, and he went to the playoffs 3 of the 4 years he was there. So
he did a good job for the most part.
He did. Joe said Twitter said we had to work out some tight ends today. Thought maybe he was going to be out maybe. No, I think he's playing. I don't know why they who on Twitter said that. I don't.
It's a couple different receivers, I believe, that are similar to like a Jordy Forson, like athleticism and build. So the belief I think is they're just trying to add someone else on the roster, or having the practice squad ready to go for playmaking purposes, just adding more people. That's what I believe.
Yeah, it's not taking Kelce out. It's just, you know, we really needed Jody Fortson this year. If any year we could have used him to stay healthy, this would have been the year to do it. He's a great player when he's healthy. He's a strong beast, rips the ball out of everybody's hands, can go up and grab anything. He's just insanely good. It's just he's injury prone, and it sucks because we really had high hopes for that kid from the first day we saw him in preseason. We're like, oh, man, this guy, he's going to be something else. And when we found out prior to it happening that they were going to hybrid him, we actually announced it on this show. We said they're going to hybrid him, you know, make him a hybrid player, move him over to tight end. And then a month later, that's what they did. But it just sucks that he's injury prone because he's a great player, and it's been kind of hard on his career. But anyway, just expect some things to change moving forward with personnel packages, everything else. It's going to be a different Chiefs football team than what we've seen this year. Don't expect it to continue to move this in the direction that it was. It's just going to move forward. Hey, by the way, the Eagles have lost three straight.
They have. They went from beating the Chiefs and talking all this stuff to three straight losses.
Yep. Joe said it has to be. You're right, Joe. It does. Three straight losses, two of them they lost by four scores each. This last one, they got beat by Drew Lock.
They did, the last second the touchdown.
What a beautiful pass that was, though. I mean, that was a perfect pass. It was great. But here's my thing. They're 1-3 since talking all that shit in the tunnel when Nick Sirianni ran his mouth in the tunnel again in Kansas City. I put it out on Twitter, karma.
Yeah.
And everybody said, what do you mean karma? Because I didn't put anything else. I just put karma. That's the tweet. There's a reason why I put that. Because karma will come back and bite you. He is not a head coach. He is a head hype man. He doesn't call plays. He doesn't draw up plays. He's a hype man. He likes to make, you know, run his mouth and talk shit. And that's, you know, he's trying to be that WWE type of guy, you know. But he's not a head coach. And I knew this. We talked about this. I said they were going to regress at some point because they lost their two best play callers in their offensive defensive coordinator. That's why they hired from within, because they thought their, you know, their assistant coaches were going to be that may have learned from the old OC in DC. And it's pretty obvious they didn't, because they got a trash secondary. And now their offense for the last four games against us, they didn't look that good. We gave them that game. We handed them that game. They didn't beat us. We beat ourselves. And you take that game and you put that week 17 or week 16, there's a totally different outcome.
Yeah.
Totally different outcome. But the Eagles, look, man, as much as I don't want to see this happen to Jason Kelce, because this is his last season, there's no doubt about that. 100% he's retiring after this season. It looks like they're a one and done, and they could actually lose out the rest of these games. They got three games left, and they can lose all three of them.
They could.
Dude, they just lost to the fucking Seahawks, bro. I mean, come on.
The way teams are playing them are just able to figure out what they're doing week in and week out. And I think even Jalen Hurts even said people just aren't acting dedicated enough, which he probably isn't wrong. I mean, this is kind of one of the things, unfortunately, what we see.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is a lot we're seeing. This is the time where either teams sink or swim.
Yep. And you know who's swimming?
The cream of the crop, or you sink to the bottoms of the depths of the ocean and stay there with the furnaces.
And I'd say he's swimming right now. He's swimming with the Dolphins right now, is Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is absolutely playing better than I thought he was a good quarterback. I said this all year. I said it last year. But he is a really good quarterback. He is makes smart decisions. He's very poised in the pocket. He doesn't make giant, you know, stupid mistakes. He doesn't force the ball. Mm-hmm. Granted, he's got a great team friendly or quarterback friendly team, but he's still playing lights out football. And look, man, don't be surprised if that's the Super Bowl team in the NFC.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, they are on top of the world right now. So the Eagles, man, I'm sorry, but they could actually lose out right now. They could lose two, maybe they could lose all three of these next their last games.
They could,
and I'd have to look and see what their schedule is, but I don't think they're in a position right now unless something changes drastically. Any I'm talking about immediately. I don't know, man. It just looks like they don't have a team left, and they're falling apart. Let's see. They got the Let's see. Okay, so they got the Giants, they got the Cardinals, and they got the Giants again. Now
it's the Eagles.
The Eagles, that's who they have left. Now, here's the thing. The Giants, as much as shitty as they've been all year, this little Italian guy has come on strong. Little DeVito with his gangster manager out there on the field has come on strong, and he's played very well. Don't be surprised if one of those two Giants games they lose. And Arizona is playing better. So what is that? I can't even see what that is. Can you see what that emblem is on the screen?
He's doing the what is it called? What is it called?
I don't know. There's so many names for it right now. It's like basically, sign, do you understand? Know. Yeah, it's like basically.
Yeah, do you understand?
Yeah, capiche.
Might be, do you understand? Yep.
Yep. So he said Dallas is fading. What's he saying? Dallas is fading? Like a falling star also? Yeah. I mean, but that's, you know, honestly, Dallas, that's kind of their MO.
Do you know how to watch Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl highlights? The only way you can watch them?
On a VHS?
VHS, so that's the only way you can watch the highlights.
Yeah. It's terrible. Let's see. He said Giants QB off. What do you say? Giants QB off the coach is killing it. Yeah, off the couch is killing it. Absolutely. He's playing very well. I mean, nobody expected. I didn't even know who the fuck this guy was. I'm like, who the hell is Tommy DeVito? I didn't know if he was Danny's grandson. I didn't know who the hell he was. But he came out strong. Will says a lot of people have been talking a lot of trash and down on the Chiefs, including national media and, of course, social media. I know that motivates the Chiefs players even more. It does. It absolutely does, especially the guys that have been here, the defense. Mm-hmm. You know, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, those guys. Look, man, McKinnon. Even Pacheco, talk down on him, he's going to make you look stupid.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, especially with that secondary that we have, those guys have been on a mission all year long, and right now they're unstoppable. I think they're ranked top one or two secondary in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really complain about what they've done. What dropped our ranking, we went from number two to number six, was because we allowed 27 points.
Yeah.
That's really what it all boils down to. It's really not the play. It was, you know, the end of the game, getting tired and then allowing extra points that we shouldn't have allowed. So, best look, man. Oh, we're number five. Yeah. I guess it really depends on who you look at. Some people have
that's
a six.
That's still good, though. Top five, top 10 defense.
Yeah, you can't beat that. I mean, and look, man, with Patrick Mahomes and a top five defense towards the end of the season, that's fucking dangerous. Because, honestly, last year, if you really look at what we had, with the exception of Juju, we had the exact same football team. We added Rice, who is now becoming Juju. We talked about this at the beginning of the season. I got laughed at. Philip got laughed at because we said he'd get 800 to 1,000 yards. He's on pace to get 900 yards. So it is what it is. That's Juju-esque. And he's actually got more touchdowns than Juju by – I think Juju only had 3 touchdowns the regular season. Rice has 7.
I think so.
Probably gonna end up with, he's probably going to end up with 10, by the, if not more. Yeah. So if he hits 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, Quentin owes me something. And if anybody doesn't know who Quentin is, he's our other host on the show. He's just off tonight. But he's going to owe it. He's going to owe me because we made that bet. I have it. It's on YouTube. The bet is there. You were on the show, Caleb. And I know Thiz was producing that show. I said, if he hits 1,000 yards, you're going to owe me something. I'm going to make him send me about 4-5 bottles of Gates barbecue sauce, extra hot.
And yeah, he's an extra hot.
We'll call it even. But yeah, man, I just, everybody out there that's flipping out, I wouldn't. I just chill out because it looks like they're going to be, things are changing. And this is what Andy does. He's got a very, very shrewd mindset. And he does things methodically. And that's what I've been kind of waiting for. So anyway, what do you think? What's on your mind?
No, I agree. I think we're at a point where the Chiefs have realized we have to play. And if we don't play, the season's a waste. The AFC is weak. JP, I said this to you in the past shows. This AFC is weak. Yeah. The Chiefs have an opportunity to make another Super Bowl. Regardless of the Arrowhead Invitational or not, they have an opportunity to make another Super Bowl and do what they need to do. So if they can do that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But we have to make sure offense can play and do what it's supposed to. Because if not, man, this is going to be a long, long offseason where moves could have been made to fix these issues.
Yeah, Joe said, not sure you can coach the drops out of the receivers, though. And hopefully Mahomes doesn't get too frustrated because he sure was last weekend. I think you can coach some of the drops out. It's just a lot of it has to do with confidence. These players have lost their confidence. These guys, everybody has to remember they're young. And young guys, when they get trashed, whether it be on the from the media or social media or whatever, they start getting down on themselves instead of being able to pick themselves up like a lot of guys can do, like a Kelsey can do, like a Mahomes can do, Chris Jones, you know, all the guys on this team that have played and have that, they have a different mindset. Some of these guys, they get down on themselves, and it's really hard to pick themselves back up. The one good thing that's come out of this is that the guy – that is causing a lot of these, he said, shot collars. yeah, I know. I dude, that thing that they used back in the day looked like, it looked like a neck brace for somebody that like had their neck snapped off. I would put a shot collar on his ass and I'd have it set at a, I'm telling you, a millimeter. You move your neck a millimeter when that ball's coming at you, you're getting blasted. You're getting about 10,000 volts because that's what you need. You need to be, You got to learn to keep your head straight. That's, look, man, that's wide receiver 101. Wait until the fucking ball's in your hand before you turn your head. And don't carry it like a loaf of bread. Those are the two things you got to do. It's that simple. Two first things, number two, one and two rule right there. But they don't seem to, Tony's had a problem with that. I know he wants to make the plays. I know he wants to take off and do what he does. But he has to do that after the fact. If Tony, you put Tony downfield, give him some go routes, I'm telling you, he's a lot better player. Give him a little open field with maybe some fear of other wide receivers, and he doesn't feel like he's going to get tagged. Immediately, I think he'll actually make some better plays. He knows the mistakes he's making. He's not happy with what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't think people make it seem like Tony is this guy who doesn't care. I think he does care.
Yeah,
he's trying to figure out what's best to do. And I believe he can get it figured out, but there's come to a point where it's like, man, you got to make the plays necessary. We're going to need you. Chiefs are going to need you, so they're going to have to figure something out.
He said that's old school football. It absolutely is, man. I mean, I seen shit back in the day on the field that I was like, damn, man, they really do that shit. But they do. I mean, we talked about this in the show before. It was a different lifestyle. And we talked about it before. My first encounter with it was watching the offense and defense beat the shit out of each other in practice at Arrowhead. I mean, at the practice facility in Kansas City. And I said, I asked Derek, I said, what the fuck is going on? And he goes, what? I said, dude, he just hit that dude in the head with a helmet. He didn't have a helmet on. He just took his helmet off, cracked him in the head. He goes, yeah, we hate each other during the week, but we're all brothers on Sunday. But that's how they used to practice. You know, they did not like each other. It's not like it is today where you got a quarterback like Mahomes that'll take the whole team out to dinner. Back then, they didn't even talk. Russell Wilson had that mindset back in the day. Just ask Marshawn Lynch or anybody else that was affiliated with them. You had to call a guy and call another guy and then get through a team.
Yeah, that's – a lot of people not happy.
Yeah. So, you know, they have to do what they have to do to make this shit right, and I think that's what they're leaning towards. But we got the Raiders coming up. They're coming off this big win against a really bad football team. Look, more power to them, whatever. A lot of that came off of, you know, huge mistakes by – the Chargers, you know, they had 5 turnovers. I think two or three of those were pick sixes, if I'm not mistaken, or one was a fumble for a touchdown. Yeah, it was insane. So a lot of those points came from just sheer, I think Antonio Pierce's, I think he was wrong to run the score up as high as he did in some aspects, but then also you want to get your guys motivated, it woke the team up, and that's it. When you want to get your guys motivated, that's what you kind of do.
I think that's what he needs to do. I think he realized that. I mean, look, he's a competitor. That's good for the team. They need that.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting to see if they'll let him keep the job and how that's gonna affect things moving forward. Because I think he's a great coach, but he's done some things that made me see like, yeah, if he just stays there, things are gonna be complicated for the Raiders. They have to get the right guys. So it's gonna be a full kind of story, I believe.
I agree. And look, man, given the fact that Mark Davis has had these mistakes in the past by letting people go, he should have kept. Like, honestly, they probably should have kept. In fact, I know they should have kept. What's his name? Their special teams guy
that took over. Or something like that.
Yeah, they should have kept him. And Davis knows that. He should have been the head coach, but they made that mistake and didn't do it.
Yeah.
He said, what do you say? He said, hard men make good times. Good times make hard, soft men. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. That's a really good saying. He said he's also trying to keep his job, so making history is one way to do it. Absolutely. I mean, that was a Raiders franchise.
That was a Raiders-like performance.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, they've never scored 63 points in their existence. But to be able to beat somebody like that, and then, again, you know, that I guess that's the difference between, like, most coaches and Andy Reid. Like Andy Reid, the question was posed to him, why didn't you score on that last, you know, when they were down there and they were on like what, the 17 yard line or maybe even closer, they could have scored again. He said, because it's the right thing to do. And that he's right. When you're playing the Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs, regardless of how they played this season or not played this season, don't embarrass people, especially somebody you might like.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a different – I feel like, though, even though you still got to play the whistle, I feel like you still got to do that at times.
Well, yeah, and it was a kneel down, though. It wasn't like they had a chance to give them the ball back.
But it's also like the Chargers – there's no way you should be losing 42-0 at halftime and then have all these different issues and problems come out. You need to be battling.
Yeah.
Like, that's –
well, Staley lost the team. So, yeah. I mean, when you lose the team, it's nobody's going to play for you.
So,
you know, and that's what happened to McDermott. You know, McDermott lost the team for most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden he's, you know, the team played hard for me. Okay, you won a game. That's great. But let's see how you do moving forward. You know, that's kind of how it's all going to play out. So, and I agree, Joe Staley needed to go. He should have been gone last year. We knew he was on the hot seat from everybody I talked to at the beginning of prior to the beginning of the season. And they, you know, he bought his way out of getting fired by bringing in what's his face from Dallas and getting rid of the offensive coordinator, which we've seen Kellen Moore, yeah. And we've seen that did no good. Now you got a quarterback that's injured for the season, and you got a backup named Danny Sticks or Ty Easton Stick or whatever Stick. His name, Easton Stick. I don't know what his name is. Never heard of that guy either.
Can dribble basketball. I mean, can dribble a football.
Well, that's cool. I wish he could throw one. I mean, <yeah. laughs>
that's cool. But he needs to throw one.
I mean, it just is what it is. You gotta. I never heard of the kid. He's stepped into a role that he's not Justin Herbert. He wasn't going to step into the role and be able to just come out and play lights out football. That was proven. So it just is what it is. Let's do the AFC expansion real quick, and okay. We'll talk about AFC West expansion. We'll talk about the three teams, and then let me answer Joe's question too. He said, are the Chiefs going to activate Mecole Hardman? Yes, they are. They are going to activate him when he's healthy. Now, from what I understand, he's got a week left before he goes on his 21-day maybe, and then he should be active. So they will activate him. But we'll do the AFC West expansion real quick. We always start off, you know, alphabetical order, start off with the Broncos. Went on a little hot streak after beating us. Got a little momentum behind them. Defense looked halfway decent against really bad football teams. And then they got obliterated.
Brought and back to Irv, yep.
So back to who we expected they were. What's your thoughts on them right now?
They may get a playoff spot, but from what I've seen, Russell Wilson will probably be gone. I still believe that. It seems like Sean Payton is using the way he can of him right now, but it's like, look, he's not the future. We got to figure some way to come off this money. A team that could use a quarterback and see what's going on, be like, you know what? He has revived our spirit. This is what he's good at. They would probably take him. They would have to eat some money, both teams. But I feel like he's kind of using this opportunity to build his team the way he wants it, but also showcase Russell Wilson so he can get him out of there.
Yeah, and it's going to be really hard to find a team. I think
there's going to be a bad team that needs a quarterback, though.
Yeah, the Falcons need a quarterback. I mean, there's places, there's teams out there that need one. But here's the thing: do you want to put up, just say, $60-70 million of that contract?
No. For a guy Broncos that throws, eat a lot of that money.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know what's left on it. I think it was a $275 million deal, guaranteed. And he's been there 2 years on a – is it a five-year deal or a six-year deal?
I think that's a five-year with a six-year option, I think.
Maybe. So you got to figure, you know, there's still $175 million left on that contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be hard for two teams to eat, especially for a guy that averages – prior to the Jets game and the Giants game, he was averaging 118 yards a game. And his QBR was like 12. So now he's averaging 170 yards a game. Well, I'm sorry, 162 yards a game because of the two 200-plus yard games he had. It's just going to be really difficult to find some team that's going to go, fuck, we could really use Russell Wilson because he's damn good. Because I don't know anybody out there that has the money or the that would spend that kind of money on one when they're in such a situation that they could pull somebody off of a practice squad or even out of the draft, that would be better than him. Terry, what did you say? You said the Kansas City Chiefs is number one, Terry Glenn. They are number one. I mean, they're the best football team out there right now. You can't expect any – they really are a gritty football team to be able to withstand everything that they've dealt with this year and still be 9-5. You can't ask for much more. So they lose five games. This is – in my opinion, the worst and the best year Mahomes has ever had because of what he's had to deal with. So, but yeah, Broncos, my opinion, they're going backwards. Who do they have left? I think they have the Raiders. If I'm not mistaken, they have the Raiders. Broncos schedule.
I can look it up too.
Yeah, I can't remember.
They have the Patriots, Chargers, and Raiders. So they have a chance to win out and go to the playoffs.
I have a strange feeling that the Patriots are going to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that because of the defense that they have. They have a top five defense. What's up? What's up, Amir? They have a really good defense. And Bill Belichick knows how to play people, especially Russell Wilson. I feel like he can shut Wilson down and that offense down. And if they can do that, all they need to put up is like two scores. That's really all they have to do. So I feel like they could actually beat Denver. Denver right now, I mean, what are they, 10th in the playoff seeding or something? They're way down there. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to get there or not, but they're look, it is what it is. They had a little run. They looked okay against some really bad football teams, and we shot ourselves in the foot playing against them. Again, another team that didn't beat us, we beat ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, it's just one of those things where you got to watch them fall, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to fall. So
I agree with you.
Chargers. Go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to just say, looking at their schedule, I mean, this is against the Bills, Broncos, and Chiefs. Their season's over. I mean, there's really not much to say about the Chargers. They're going to another rebuild. They're going to figure out what they're going to do. I mean, there's really not much to say. Their season is over.
Yeah, they're done. They're done. Staley lost that team probably, I don't know. He really lost it at the end of last year, but they tried their best at the beginning of the season. But really, honestly, from our ass whooping on, he lost that team, and he never got it back. And I was really surprised that he lasted as long as he did. But it finally took that kind of an ass kicking just to get rid of him. And that, I think, honestly, if that would have been a 14-point loss because they had a backup quarterback in there, he'd still be there.
Yeah, it's just the embarrassment factor pretty much what got pushed through.
Exactly. So they're done. Staley should have been gone last year, but again, we know where they fell in. You know, what he did to stay, kind of like what Josh McDaniels did to stay. You know, you use the quarterback thing. I'm going to make this rookie quarterback a star, and he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So, again, it just is what it is. Chargers, they are absolutely a hot mess, dude. They're junk. They're a terrible football team. I don't think they're ever going to – I mean, it's going to take them a long time to even get back to probably a 500 record after this situation. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a question. Joe said Chargers are a hot mess, but probably will have Belichick next year. I don't know. Belichick is kind of methodical, too. I've heard – a couple of teams thrown out there. The Chargers were one of them. Chicago is another team that I've heard he would like to go to, and they would like to have him. I'm trying to remember the other team that was thrown out to me. And right now it's slipping my mind, but there was one other team. And I would look at – if I was Belichick at 72 – well, 73 or maybe 73 years old now. If I'm going to leave a team that I've been with for 23 years, prior to 2000, he was a subpar head coach. After, 2019, 20, he's been a subpar head coach.
Okay.
So I would have to think about it and go, okay, I'm 73. Do I really want to go into a division with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, knowing that I have to completely rebuild the Chargers from ground up when I couldn't rebuild the Patriots? Or do I want to go to a team that has potential in a different division and I can actually look good in that division because the division's not that great in the NFC?
It's just going to have to come down to he's probably going to go to a situation where there's pieces already there. AKA maybe the Cowboys are an option. We can get to on another show. But, I mean, there's going to be a team that has some pieces where he would end up going. And that's going to give him control. I mean, there's a couple of NFC I can think of right now. So, I don't know.
And also, he's a GM along with the head coach. And that's something that there's only a couple of teams that allow that. The Chargers aren't one of them.
Yep, that's true.
He should retire. I mean, he really should. But I don't know if he's going to go out yet. I don't think he knows how to stay at home. I really don't know. And now he's got his son on the sidelines with him. So, it's just going to be harder for him just to stay home, you know.
What are your thoughts on the Raiders? Moving on, last team before we wrap it up here.
The Raiders, it's really hard to tell with them. I mean, I think they probably got one more win in them this season. They're not going to make the playoffs, but I could see them maybe having one more win. I don't know what game that'll be. It won't be this week, but I still think that, I mean, they're better than the Chargers, so they're going to end up third in the division. It just kind of is what it is. Mm-hmm. And unless the Broncos lose out, which can very well happen.
There's a chance for them. The best they can, if they don't beat the Chiefs this Sunday, then they're, or Monday, whatever the day game they play is, they're going to go 8-8 probably. That's their best chance.
Yeah, it's about their best chance. And I agree with Joe. I mean, he's a decent coach. I think he's got that Raiders mentality that they have always had, but it's more, well, I can't say always. Since the 90s, that's that Raiders mentality. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when you're an interim head coach and you're trying to prove your place. Mm-hmm. And then you go out and you beat a really bad football team and you get stomped by a good football team. You know, it's just hard. So especially when you have some really good weapons. I mean, you've got arguably one of the best running backs in football. You got a top three wide receiver. You've got some really good weapons, and then you can't get them the ball. So that's hard. It's hard to stomach for a head coach, for an owner. But again, Al Davis made a mistake by not signing his former special teams coach to a long-term deal as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he'll stick with them. I don't know if they're on the rise. I think maybe next year they'll be a better football team, but this year I don't know that they're in it to win it. Top five D ends. Top defense. Yeah, I mean, you got Max Crosby. I mean, you got guys like that, and it's just hard. It's hard to look at a team and go, okay, yeah, they're really going to do well when they went up against us that were really playing bad at the time. And we kicked the shit out of them. And we could have done a lot more to them, but we didn't. But that's all. I mean, I don't know. I think, they're just one of those teams that you just can't really tell with them. They're going to end up probably third unless Denver just completely goes on a complete roast today.
Yeah.
He said, that was another thing. I wanted to bring that up because Thiz brought that up. He said Justin Houston was cut today. Reunion tinker him. What's it say?
Make him a chief.
Oh, retire him a chief. Here's the thing. Would I like to see Justin Houston come back? Yes, I like Justin Houston. But they left on really bad. There was a very bad parting. They're I don't think he would retire. Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't even think if he came back for a one day, he retires a chief. He was just not happy when he left. And look, they had an opportunity to bring him back two times after that and didn't do it. So I don't know. He says, I don't know about retirement. I just want to strengthen the defense. That's it. I agree with you. And he would be help as far as like giving guys a break, and he's had his rest. So he's, rested up. I guess if it was me and I had my choice right now, I would probably bring back Carlos Dunlap over Justin Houston, just because Justin, he's kind of injury prone. And it's just – I don't think he'd come back. I really don't. I don't think – unless they offered him a decent amount of money, I don't think he'd come back.
They don't need to, but, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I would much rather have Carlos Dunlap back just to give these other guys a break. Mm-hmm. That's that's who I would want to see on the field. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, I mean, it looks like, right now the window's open in the AFC. We've got our opportunity. There's a little bit of work. We have to win out. We don't have a choice. The Ravens have to lose two football games. Miami, they kind of did us a favor. If we win one, we're above them. He's only owed $250,000. I get it, but he still gets a league minimum, in my opinion. I think they would add that $250,000 onto a league minimum, so that would put him over $850,000. Well, put him right at $1 million. Because that's the league minimum if you sign a player on a contract. So he would get $1 million. They would get, it's hard. Although, since he was cut, the team that cut him actually owes him the $250,000 unless he's picked up off waivers in a certain time period. Mm-hmm. So we would end up paying him $850,000 to come back. I just don't see it happening. I would rather have Dunlap back, let him play out the season. The guy batted a ball down in every single game he was in with us. Every game, the first season he was with us. And from the first snap that he played, he was batting passes down, and he did it in every game. He was constantly in the backfield, always had fresh legs, always ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he's sitting at home. So give him an opportunity, you know, give these guys some rest. That's just how I see it.
I agree.
Real quick, the Eagles game, I don't know if you noticed, but Jason Kelce got a penalty for moving the football forward on the tush.
I thought everyone always did that.
You know,
Liverpool wants to really be on those contrict. I don't know if the term is all those picky rules. They're really on.
Yeah, the ticky tack stuff.
Yeah, ticky tack balls.
Yeah. What I noticed though, most centers, and I watch our center do it, Creed Humphrey, lifts his head, stands the ball up, but he doesn't move it forward.
Mm-hmm.
He may move it a half inch, you know, like just getting it placed. Mm-hmm. Jason. And I think that that's been part of their success with that tush push is because it actually changes the line of scrimmage for the defense as well.
Mm.
So when you're moving the ball a half a yard forward or 6 inches forward, it doesn't necessarily mean Jalen Hurts is moving at all from where he's standing. But in a tush push situation, it does. Yeah, it gives him a little more room to move. Because he's already, you know, ready to make that dive, so he's as close to Kelce as he can get. If Kelce moves that ball 6 inches forward or a foot forward, then, yeah, that's going to give him a better opportunity to get that. That right there, by the way, they try to take that tush push out this year. I think it's going to go away next year because of that alone. It's going to go away. It's going to be interesting to see, but I feel bad for him, and I actually feel bad for Jalen Hurts because he seems like a really good guy, and he's stuck with a complete jack off head coach, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, Sirianni's an idiot, and there's no doubt about it. And I think the owner is realizing now that hype man just
has awesome work. Problems for us down the line.
Yeah, so it just happens. But with that being said, I don't know what else we got. Hey, everybody, you know, do me a favor. Go on and give anybody that's listening to the show, go on Twitter and give these guys some props. Give them a little bit of motivation. Don't just trash them because, man, the guys that have been hurting the most are the ones that need it the most. The MVSs, you know, the Kadarius Tonys, give them a little bit of confidence boost. You know, give Kelce some confidence boosting. Don't make him feel like it's just because he's got a girlfriend that he's playing, you know, not Kelce-esque this year. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing he's lacking in right now is touchdowns. His yardage is there. He's good. So just give everybody a little bit of a push because they're going to need it. That, as much as people don't want to believe it, it goes a long ways with these players. Believe me, I've talked to enough of them. It goes a long ways with them. Mm-hmm. So give them a little bit of confidence and a little boost, and we'll be back. And if for anybody that's on this show, make sure you download the PSF app. Pro Sports Fans, we do a live game cast every week during the game. We're doing it on Christmas. So make sure you join it. We're doing it through the pro season. We have a midweek show on Wednesdays. You can join in on the show. You can actually come on video. You can say whatever you want. It's not censored. It's similar to – you know, it puts spaces to shame is what it does. So make sure you download the app. It doesn't cost you a thing to do it. Just download it, join Chiefs fans, and follow us on PSF because it's a lot of fun. We've had players on there, some analysts. We have fun. So join in. It's 4 hours that you don't have to listen to Joe Buck, and anything is better than that. And, yes, no Fairweather fans, please. No 2018 and on fans. Let's just be, you know, unless you're actually a solid fan. But anyway, join it. It's a lot of fun. And we will be back on Thursday here, 8 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Central time. And we'll give our game predictions and a whole lot more. And we'll talk about what we're hearing that's coming up next. That being said, we appreciate everybody for joining. Thanks, Thiz. Thanks to Thiz for producing the show. And we will talk to you guys again on Thursday. Peace out, everybody.